Well, I was thankful for my parents. They instilled good values for me, principles, things that made us stand for what we believed in, and being able to carry that forward and teach that to your own. I mean, that was something that, I felt very vital for me and for my family.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's The Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by RPACT. RPACT is the one app every parent needs to keep their children safe when surfing the internet, playing online games, or engaging with social media. RPACT's goal is to assist parents in teaching children healthy digital habits and responsible, proper use of their device. RPACT is easy to use, easy to set up, and great for parents and families who are concerned with their child's use of technology. Whether you're introducing a device to your child for the very first time or simply have a teenager that spends way too much time on social media and other device apps, RPACT is the perfect parental control app solution for your family to encourage a healthy balance between technology and face-to-face social interaction. From scheduling device-free time for the family, schoolwork, or disconnecting to screen time allowance, specific app blocking, website filtering, family location, screenshots of your child's device, RPACT is the most comprehensive parental control app and family locator tool that is perfect for families of any size. For more information and to download the RPACT app, go to their website at rpact.com or find RPACT in your mobile device app store. What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I'm very happy to have the one and only Muggsy Bogues. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Looking forward to chatting with you. I grew up in the 80s and 90s, basketball. I still love the NBA, but I just felt like that was the heyday for me. Just growing up, so many memories. But I love bringing good guys like yourself on to talk about their fatherhood journey. So take me back when you found out you're going to be a dad. What was going through your mind, sir?
Well, I became a dad early on in life. When I was 18 years old, I was blessed to have my first daughter. I wasn't expected, but once we found out she was coming, it was a blessing by no means. And when I was having, I was a teenager. It was nerve-wracking, about to go to college, not knowing what that was going to look like and how you was going to be able to provide. But the support system that I had, my mom, her parents, was able to fulfill those voids that we weren't able to deal with at early on in my life. But I mean, again, it was something out of experience feeling for me, feeling something that more important than your own life, having that perspective. I mean, it was a wonderful feeling.
Love it, man. And, if people follow your career, and of course, you probably talk about this in your book too, just the work ethic you have. And like you said, I think, you just mentioned about the support system around, you when you were a young dad, having good friends, having a support system and a hard work ethic to get to the NBA, man, you got to have a hard work ethic. So talk a little about some of the values you were looking to instill into them as they were growing up.
Well, I was thankful for my parents, they instilled good values for me, principles, things that made us stand for what we believed in, and being able to carry that forward and teach that to your own. I mean, that was something that, I felt very vital for me and for my family, of being able to, give them those type of understanding of what life is all about and what we mean in terms of where we came from and what we stand for and what our true core values are. When you're able to do that and pass that along to your next generation, and them to have that understanding and fire, and now taking on, their own issues and own, things that they feel are passionate about. I mean, that's what it's all about. I credit it all to my mom and my dad in terms of being able to plant that seed in me early on.
No doubt, sir. Thank you very much for that. And what is something that your kids have taught you either about yourself or about life that maybe you didn't know was there, but when you have kids and they taught you something, what is something that they have taught you about life?
Dad, you've been a kid once before, and that the things that we do, it shouldn't be surprising, because I'm quite sure you experienced many things of that or anything different than that in those natures. But being patient and just being understanding, knowing that you were in their shoes once upon a time, and you do have to now put yourself in that place, in that space, just to kind of be able to understand more and give them more support and where it relates to. And I think they helped me more in that regard than anything. And also in terms of seeing them, how they now navigate through life and decisions that they have to make for themselves and for their loved ones. I mean, it's a blessing to be able to witness it because, again, it all ain't going to be peaches and creams. And you like to see them how they deal with the adversities amongst themselves.
No doubt. Muggs, I think one of the things you just said in the beginning of that question that I asked you was, just remembering we were kids at one time as well, and we made mistakes and we've done probably some dumb things, right? And I think that maybe could be the advice or a dad hack. But for new dads listening to this, or just dads in general, parents listening to this, what is a piece of advice or a dad hack that you'd like to offer to the people listening right now?
Well, for one, we all don't know it all. I mean, it's definitely an opportunity to learn on the job in terms of, for me, that's what it was, you know, got to learn on the job. My parents only could tell me so much. And but when it actually happened, you know, you pretty much, you and your loved one have to pretty much, you know, learn on as you go. But more so just know that you have people that's out there if you need be, in terms of you need to ask questions, find out, you know, whatever that question may need to be or how it need to be answered. But more so, don't put too much pressure on yourself. Just enjoy that moment. Truly enjoy the moment, because it's a changing of a life for everyone involved. I mean, in terms of bringing a newborn in this world. So don't stress yourself out, even though you're going to be stressed throughout the night. But don't stress yourself out, more so just, you know, try to just enjoy it as much as you possibly can, because it is, at the end of the day, a great blessing to have.
Wise words. I really appreciate you sharing that, and I hope my audience takes that to heart. Now transitioning to the NBA. Talk about the transition from college to the NBA. I mean, you definitely had a different travel path than maybe other people from college to the NBA, but talk about, you know, you were drafted by the Rhode Island Gulls after your time at Wake Forest, and then the Bullets, and then you went on to play for the Charlotte Hornets. And I think you, Zoe, LJ, all those guys made a statement playing for the Hornets. But talk a little bit about the transition from college to the pros for you, sir.
Well, for me, I mean, it was, I don't see how you can get prepared for, but it was a means of, you know, leaving a boy's world and going into a man's world. And that's the only way I can explain it, because those were men that you was dealing with. But it was an adjustment period, but it was something that I was ready for. I mean, it was a craft that I pursued for quite some time. And, you know, so I felt comfortable in that arena, in that area. But still, the unknown is still going to be nerve-wracking, playing against bigger, stronger, the best in the world, how to continue to compete and how to continue to be able to, you know, be on that same platform, playing field. So the mindset always have to come into play. And I think my mindset allowed me to be able to allow myself to be part of it. You know, and I always felt like if I played against the best, I had success against the best, I must be included with the best. So having that understanding and that mindset allowed me to stay right on that stage where I needed to be in order to be able to compete.
No doubt, man. Speaking of that stage, like I mentioned earlier, 80s and 90s, man, I loved it. And I think Charlotte Hornets, when you were playing, man, the logo was iconic. The teams that you were going against were iconic. You guys were iconic yourselves. You know, talk a little bit about, one, that time and that era and how much fun you had to play in that. And then, two, the evolution. I'm not going to be like an old man yelling at a cloud being like, oh, it's not like it used to be. Because I appreciate the evolution. I appreciate that with anything, things are going to change. Things might go forward, backward, whichever way you want to talk about the evolution. But I enjoy today's game, but I think me being, at the 80s and 90s, a kid at heart, I loved watching you guys play. But talk about the time that you, the era you played in, and what you think about the transition now.
Well, the era we played in, I mean, I think each era has a sort of a transitional period. I mean, you go even earlier from the 60s, you know, it was more of a pass, cut, that type of, you know, I don't want to say it wasn't much athleticism, because you had a lot of athletes, a lot of athletic players that was still jumping, you know, above the rim. But I think it was a lot more passing and cutting, where you get to, in our era, I think you got to see a lot more of the athleticism in terms of you know, each year because the equipment got better, athletes got stronger. The same thing as we're about to talk about the evolution of the game. And our era, it was just, you know, very physical, I should say. It was a physical time, the way the game was played. And you had positions type of spots on the floor where you had a point guard, a two guard, a three, four, five at those positions. So it kind of operated in that regard. And I think back then we played, it was more emphasis on the defense. The defense had more emphasis on the game. You saw, you know, we had the Jordan rules back in where Detroit kind of, you know, took Michael and made him feel it each and every time that he came in the lane. So we had things to put into place in order to try to, you know, allow the offense to try to have some sort of, you know, fairness or equal playing field, I should say, back in our day. Today's era, I mean, it's all about the offense. You know, it's not as physical, I guess, until you get to the playoff. They let them play a little more now these days. But, you know, the players are totally different. I mean, the guys are more skillful, I should say, in only in this regards where our centers were playing with their back towards the basket, seven-footers, where the centers today, they dribble the ball, bring it up the court. And that's where I say the evolution, as you mentioned, and, you know, and I mentioned the skill set has kind of, you know, they, some of these kids have taken it to a whole new level. You know, you look at a player like Joel Embiid, who's 7'2". I mean, he got the skill set as of a guard. We had Hakeem Olajuwon back in our playing with that same type of footwork, but he wasn't playing beyond that three-point line. So a player like that now is able to mix it up and have that versatility in his game. And that's where the game has gone now. And I'm a fan of it as well. You know, I'm not one of them haters of the old school players saying that, you know, our era was much better. But I will say that I think we had more superstars back in our era as opposed to the stars that we have in the era today, even though we have superstars still, but I think we have more back in our era.
I agree, man. And this is going to be a weird thing just to kind of correlate with that. It's because, like, back in the day when you would play, like, a Sega or Nintendo game and it was, like, an NBA game, any team, like, you're like, that's an all-star, that's an all-star, that's an all-star, right? Like NBA Jam was like, no matter who you pick, like, you're going to have a good team. And then, too, so spot on about the centers today. Like, I remember it was kind of like maybe the game was done and you saw Shaq when he was a Laker, you know, got the rebound and just was, like, just running down the court and was like, that's insane, you'll never see a center do that again. Well, fast forward today, and you see it a lot. So you're so spot on with that. Another thing that we saw a new version of was Space Jam, right? Back in the day, you, MJ, Barkley, Patrick Ewing, Larry Johnson, all that was in Space Jam. And then, of course, LeBron brought, you know, the crew in there as well. But when you were playing basketball, when you're looking to make it to the NBA, you're like, you know what? I'm going to be in movies. Like, did you ever, like, maybe that moment, like, for Space Jam or some other things, talk about some surreal moments where your NBA, you know, career led you to, you're like, how did I get here?
Hey, you're exactly right. You hit the word on the nose, surreal. All of it has been surreal to me in terms of being able to take part of a Saturday Night Live, you know, being on the set with Nirvana and RuPaul and, you know, Al Franklin, you know, Stuart Smiley, who was, played that. Charles Barkley, it was crazy, man. And then being able to do Space Jam, as you mentioned, with Barkley and MJ, and then Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David and Eddie with Whoopi Goldberg. I mean, not in my wildest dreams, a kid from Lawfare Project thought that he'd be on the big screen, you know, as opposed to playing basketball on the big screen. So, you know, that's been a surreal moment. I mean, just grateful and thankful to be having those opportunities to be able to take part of them, because I had a lot of fun doing it. I mean, those guys was a hoot, you know, when I was working with them. And it just gave me an opportunity to play in the field that, you know, that was out of my comfort zone.
Yeah. No doubt. So let me ask you this, though, too, right? Like, I feel like just, you know, just seeing, you know, the book and just you and just, you know, watching you and, like, you know, during post-game conferences and all stuff, you seem like a humble guy. So did your kids ever stumble upon something and, like, Dad, I didn't know you were in this. Did you ever have those moments of, like, when did you do this?
Well, I mean, normally my kids are involved in everything I do, so they never surprised about anything.
Okay.
But they did. I mean, my daughter, she went through some of the stuff that I kept over the years, and it was mainly about them and about, you know, Stefan and Seth and those sort of thing. And she couldn't believe how they were back then, because I had footage, you know, it was documented, it was on a VSH tape, and I kind of recorded their birthday party and had it since they was a kid. And Steph was only like 5 years, and Stefan was five, she was four. It was crazy. So she stumbled upon that, and she could not believe that I had that from, and this was just happening what, last summer, when she came upon it. And but she was surprised about it. But you know, all the other stuff in terms of my playing career, they know all about that. My son and my daughter, so they never were surprised about anything that, you know, I took part in, because they always involved in it.
Love it, man. And if people want to learn more about you, obviously they can check out your book, Muggsy, My Life from a Kid in the Projects to the Godfather of Small Ball. Such a great title. Such a great title. I love that. Talk a little about the inspiration for that book, sir.
Well, you know, I did one in 93 and 94 called The End of the Line of Giants. And that was when my pops had passed away and a good friend of mine, Reggie Lewis, had passed away. And when they came to me to present it, you know, that was the beginning of my career. Making it there in the NBA. But I think this one, I had a little more time to live, a little more time to affect some folks and impact people. And so this was having a lot more substance. And I think it's mainly about a kid that had a passion, who just chased it, you know, not just a kid, but a person who had a passion, who chased it each and every day, about relationships, you know, some of the relationships I had with my former players, some of the current players that's playing today, and Stefan and Chris Paul and others. Relationship with me and my wife, rekindling our relationship after we divorced 10 years being married. We divorced for 10 years and being separated. So we remarried in 2015. So it's been 7 years in our second stint of our marriage. It's also about giving back to the community. You know, all the things that I do in terms of my philanthropist and giving back, and making sure that, you know, those less fortunate have a platform and have resources to try to make their life much easier going forward. So this is why I wanted to put it out. I want to give people an opportunity, because we all go through things. We all have challenges. And if they can find some inspiration, something positive to take out of it, to get them over that hump, then, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, for me, being able to inspire others and where they don't feel like, you know, I'm not capable of doing whatever I'm thinking in my head.
No doubt, man. I love that. Inspired people, you know, I'm 6 foot, but like, you know, when I was younger, before I kind of had like a growth spurt, like when I was playing hoops, I always looked to you and like Spud Webb and other people being like, these guys can do it. I can, you know, play in the land of giants and all that. So I appreciate that. And I'll definitely put up links where people can purchase the book. To end this interview, we're going to finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie? Do you guys have one?
Well, the favorite family movie is going to be Space Jam. You know, that's just how it's going to be. It's going to be Space Jam. That's the favorite. The favorite family movie is Space Jam.
Nice. Love it. Do you have a favorite artist or band, or is there a song you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to?
Well, you know, I'm an Earth, Wind & Fire guy.
Nice.
And I love Earth, Wind & Fire. My kids, you know, they grew up and they more or less wanted to, you know, they was in the Bow Wow and that sort of stuff with my son. So I had an opportunity. I introduced my son to Bow Wow and my daughter, you know, and they was big fans of his when we was growing up. So I kind of had to, you know, introduce them to him, I should say, when he was high on his platform. And so those are two artists. That artist right there stands out in terms of them, because they really love Bow Wow.
Nice. A lot of good dad street cred right there, being like, hey, do you remember the time I introduced your favorite artist? I love that. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
A perfect family vacation is Cabo. You know, we love to go to Cabo, Mexico, and to this day, we still take those trips. You know, we just enjoy the, especially now them being older, and we can really enjoy each other's company. And it's such a blessing to be able to be in their company at this stage of their lives, you know, seeing them with their loved ones, their family, and being able to, you know, watch them navigate, you know, through their lives. So Cabo is that family vacation special spot.
Nice, man. All right, I'm a sneakerhead, and like a few weeks ago I had on D Brown. We're talking about the Reebok pumps and all that. I saw you in different pictures, you know, kind of when I was researching this. I'm like, what kind of shoes did you play in? I know you played in Reebok and some other ones. Did you have a favorite pair of kicks to play in during your playing days?
Well, my Reeboks, my 88s, I always say my 88s was the ones, you know, that was supposed to be made for speed and the quickness and everything. So my 88s was the ones that I love playing in the Reeboks, even though I loved my Converse when I first started out. But the 88s, they felt so comfortable on my feet, man. They were special.
Nice. And now lastly, sir, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad, what would you want them to be?
Understanding, loving, and he's always giving.
Nice. I love that. And the understanding goes back to one of the things you said earlier about, you know, remembering that you were a kid once and put yourself in their shoes. Spot on, sir. I love how it comes full circle. People, make sure you follow Muggsy on Twitter at Muggsy Bogues and check out his book and go to his website, MuggsyBogues.com, to see all the great work that he's doing in the community. But again, I know you're a busy guy. I really appreciate the time. Your outlook on fatherhood is fantastic, and I wish you and your family continued success, sir.
Oh, I really truly appreciate you having me on this show. I really had a good time.
Thank you. I want to thank RPAC for being this week's sponsor for the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I've been working with them for years now, and I really appreciate their dedication to not only keep kids safe online, but teach families, not just kids, but families, healthy digital habits so that they can embrace technology but not overuse it. Go to RPAC.com for more information and check them out at your mobile device app store. Please rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And also go to artoffatherhood.net. You can have a chance to check out some great articles like the weekly Dad's Doing It Right column, the Collector of the Week, and many more. Plus, you have a chance to win some very cool prizes like video games, collectibles, all that good stuff. Go to artoffatherhood.net. And please make sure you rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts, because I'll greatly appreciate it to get the word out on the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.